Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher, and this is the Insight segment. Well, it is Monday, and you are back at work once again. But some of you are not really feeling your job being back at work. There is a percentage of workers who are not happy with their position. And there's a new term that's being used for this. Honestly, they are less engaged. They feel overworked. Many of you can relate to this. This new term I'm talking about, it's called quiet quitting. It's when you do the minimum amount of work. Can we all somewhat feel this, or is all too broad a term? Who is quiet quitting? Tonight, we're going to talk about this. If you're one of those quiet quitters, we want to hear from you, and why are you in that position or doing that quiet quitting? Give us a call. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight's conversation is all about work, or maybe the lack thereof. Our guest tonight is Dr. Vanessa Weaver. She's a career advisor and CEO of Alignment Strategies, and Nichelle Holmes, a branding and marketing expert. Again, phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Weaver, I'm going to start with you. I've kind of laid out sort of what I sort of deem what quiet quitting is. How would you define this new term, and where is it coming from?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be on your show to talk about this really critically important topic. And quiet quitting is a new, is a new term to talk about a pretty significant issue that's been plaguing the workplace really for, you know, for decades. But it's been a lot of attention has been brought onto it in the last 10 years. And when you think about quiet quitting, and you talked about the whole notion of engagement, right? So when you think about engaged employees, they fall into three camps: one that are actively engaged, and then one, a group that's what we call passively engaged, and that's where your quiet quitters will reside, and then one disengaged. And what's interesting, although there's a lot of attention to this, this has been an issue because in the American and global workforces, 51% of employees are what we call passively engaged, or now we're calling quiet quitters. 51%. So one out of every two folks in the workplace are quiet quitters.
So you really haven't quit your job. You just do the minimal amount, or you're just not that engaged, not into the job. You're there, but in some ways you're not really there. Would that be correct?
Yeah. Right. It's, you know, quiet quitters are people who have a commitment to the job in the sense that they're going to do what's expected of them, what's required of the job. But what they don't do is provide what we call discretionary effort. And that discretionary effort is really what's required to make an organization, you know, the best in class, or making a company overperform and deliver excellence. So you really need those employees who are prepared to not only do what's required, obviously, but to, we don't provide the discretionary effort. So those quiet quitters help the organization, you know, deliver, but they don't necessarily help them win.
Nichelle, is this a Generation Z thing, or is it not fair to lump it on just one sort of generational group?
That's such a good question. I think if we even just think about what Dr. Weaver said, this is not generational. We have been seeing quote unquote quiet quitting for several years now. I do think that term quiet quitting is mislabeled for sure. I do think it doesn't really align with what the individuals who are or claiming this are feeling or thinking. It definitely is a, as I see it, a celebration almost of people doing only what is asked, which I don't think I've ever seen before. Usually we celebrate those who want to go above and beyond and those who want to make sure that they're not just doing the bare minimum. But now in today's society, I feel that a lot of companies, despite generations, companies are almost taking their employees and their workforce for granted. So burnout is a symptom of that, but so is what we're calling quiet quitting, when people are taking a step back and saying, you know, I'm not going to continue to raise my hand if it is not going to bring me more, I don't know, bring me more opportunity, bring me more money. It's kind of individuals taking a strange stance for themselves, mm-hmm. to say, this is where I draw the line and I'm only going to give you what you are requiring of me, which I don't think that is generational. I do think that's something we're seeing, despite, you know, what generation you're in. I just think that we're seeing it more with millennials and Gen Z, because they're on TikTok, they're engaging with one another, and they're kind of noticing that it isn't okay for companies to require more of an employee that is something outside of their scope of work. So I do not think it's generational, but I do think being taking a stance on social media the way we're seeing is what's driving that generational gap, I'll say. But I think despite how long anyone's been in the workforce, you definitely do see those symptoms of burnout or kind of just worker fatigue, of not feeling valued for what you've been doing.
Dr. Dr. Weaver, I was just going to ask that. You know, I know Nichelle says she doesn't think it's generational. You know, I'm right on the edge of the baby boomer. Which one comes after boomer? Generation?
I can't. Is it?
Yeah. Is it X? I think so, right. So, I'm right on the cusp of both of those. And some of us in that group, right, the quiet quitter sounds nice. And as Nichelle said, it's kind of maybe a misnomer. Other folks may go right to the point and say it's a laziness thing. Is that fair to use that term? Because, you know, I think that's the term that would be used maybe for my group, yeah. and further back.
Yeah, I don't know that laziness is ever the right term.
Okay.
Right? I agree with Nichelle. I think quiet quitting might be a little misnomer here. But what's interesting, and I shared that stat from the Gallup report, and it's been – that first came out in 2017, has been confirmed again in 2021. Again, 51% of the workforce across generations, this goes across generations, are quiet quitters, or what we call passively engaged. And I don't know that I consider it a celebration, right? What I do respect about the millennial and the Gen Zs is that they're more open to talk about it. Typically, those folks that are passively engaged in what we have quiet quitters, they're either suffering in silence or they don't really talk about it. So a lot of times you don't even really know that they're quiet quitters, because it has traditionally not been a topic that you put out there. And so employees feel like, you know, they have to come and endure it. And employees often are so focused on getting the task done that they don't really recognize that some of the people have started to tune out on the work. So I do think it's a calling card for the American workplace to really pay attention to this, because there's no way that an organization could be as successful as it needs to be if 51% of your people are pretty much passively engaged or quiet quitters. And on the other end, for those individuals that have career aspirations, that want to move in an organization, want to, you know, get promoted or have that stretching job or have that compensation, it's really hard to achieve that goal if you're a quiet quitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so in many ways, you know, everybody loses. But what's also important is that for those individuals that are quiet quitters because they have burnout, that's what's really so critically important in part of this conversation today, for us to identify in the employees where the stress level is so high that it's just shutting people down. Because I find in the work that we do with alignment strategies is that oftentimes, you know, because, and particularly this post-pandemic, I won't even say post-pandemic because I feel like we're still in it, but in this COVID pandemic phase, it has really created significant challenges. Like, you know, we had 42 million people quit their jobs in the last year between 2021 and 2022. We have 40 million people that quit their jobs. And can you imagine the pressure that that puts on the person who was left there in the workplace? And while employers are trying to find folks to replace them, that puts more pressure on the people that are there to make up for, you know, to take over the work of that lost employee. And that creates a lot of stress. And oftentimes, I know I'm just really talking a lot about this because I feel so passionate about this, but oftentimes the employer has not made the adjustments in the workplace to accommodate this increased demand on their people. What do I mean by that? You know, looking at how do we really restructure the work we do? 20 to 30% of the work we do is non-productive work. You know, we have these meetings that you really don't need to have. You're in them longer than you need to be in them. We have rituals in the workplace that, you know, like you have to do this monthly report, and oftentimes people don't even read it. So I think in this period now where we've lost 40 million people are switching their jobs, the employees have to step back and say, how do I streamline the work that I'm asking people to do so that the time that I have folks, they're really doing work that makes sense versus work that's many times ritualized.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Many of you may have heard about this. It's on TikTok. It's called Quiet Quitting. Are you one of those passive workers? Don't like your job? You come in, you work 9 to 5, you get there at 9, you leave at 5, you don't do much after that. And maybe even if while you're at your job, you're really not that engaged in it. Is it about not liking your job? Is it about the work structure? Is it generational in your mind? We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we go to the phone lines, Nichelle, I wanted to ask this, though. I've talked to some people, you know, small business owners, people who own large businesses, and you have workers now. I remember hearing from someone where they had a worker who was fairly new, and the boss had called them, I think, after hours, maybe. I guess maybe they were done at 5 o'clock, but they called them at, like, 5:05 to say, hey, I wanted to remind you to make sure that, you know, this has to be done, dot, 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 dot. And that person sort of reset the boss and said, listen, I just want to talk about this. You know, I really don't want to get calls after hours, even though that call was only 2 or 3 minutes. Talk about that. Is there a line where once it hits 5 o'clock, whatever your out time is, should there be no calls, or is that a conversation you have to have up front during the hiring process that, hey, I may have to call you for a few moments after hours just to set up the next day's assignments?
Yeah. I think that is an example of poor communication between that manager and that employee. In my opinion, I in no way think it's inappropriate to get a 5 p.m. call. I have calls that are scheduled at 6 p.m. You know, I have team members who are in California, so it doesn't make sense to end the day at 5 p.m. However, I know that my manager knows that if I need to take a break in the middle of the day, there is a block on my calendar where it says I'm out of office. But that is a conversation that I had with my manager in order to encourage my respect of my boundaries of work not being my entire life. It's just a subset or element of my life. So there are things that we as employees and we as managers can do differently to ease that burden or what is perceived as a burden on some employees. I think a 3-minute check-in at 5:05 is not inappropriate in any way. If I were that employee, I wouldn't have responded that way. But I also don't think that was the right time to kind of set expectations. But I do think if not in the hiring process, there needs to be a layer of transparency between managers and their employees in order to encourage just like a respectable and comfortable work environment. And too often we see individuals who are either willing to answer those very, very late calls that do cross the line of work-life balance, I'll say, but that isn't always the case. There are some times where, you know, you just need to finish something quickly. And I think we need to be a little bit more flexible with how we put our boundaries on our work and in order to just keep that type of open communication.
Before we go to break, I'm going to try to squeeze in Pamela, who's been waiting on the lines calling from Virginia. Pamela, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi, Pamela.
Good. How are you, Pamela?
I'm good. I am so glad to have this conversation. You need to have this for 3 days. You really do.
Why so?
Because that last young lady that spoke, I can tell she's a manager or close to it. And she was being polite, but here's my thing. You don't want me coming in 3 minutes late. Why are you calling me 3 minutes after a time I'm supposed to get off? Okay? And I know for a fact there are managers that will jump down your throat if you come in 3 minutes late. Okay? That's number one. The young lady that spoke before her, she hit the nail right on the head about a whole lot of things. Number one.
Okay, Pamela.
You know,
Pamela, hold on, because I think you got some points that you want to make, and I want to be sure that you can make them. So we're going to let you finish your points, but we got to take a quick break. So stay right there, Pamela. We're going to get to you. Dar, you stay right there on the phone line. Remember, the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can hear this program in its entirety. If you like, all you have to do is download the WHUR app on your smartphone. Again, you can follow us on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 on your FM dial. This conversation is going to continue on the SiriusXM Channel 141 side, but up next is John Mons with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be right back on SiriusXM Channel 141 right after this quick break. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Our subject tonight, we're focusing on quiet quitters, why folks are kind of passively working or just doing just enough, or more than 50% are unhappy with their job, so they're just kind of going through the motions. What is that all about? We've got some experts talking about that tonight. We've got folks on the phone lines telling us what they think, and Pam from Virginia is one of those. Go ahead and continue your point, Pam.
Hi, thanks. You know, your caller, not the I mean, your expert, not before, but the one before her, she hit the nail right on the head on many subjects. First of all, you know, you want us to do this, and this. And then the new girl comes in or the new guy comes in. We've been doing all of this all along. And they walk in the door and get promoted to the grade or the or whatever that you have been asking about for the last year. Okay? Yeah. And now you want us to go beyond and above when we've been doing that. And people are tired of this crap. The pandemic has taught us that. Before the pandemic, I was not a teleworker at all.
Mm-hmm.
When they sent us home, of course, you know, all of us had to become a teleworker, okay? I went home and I learned to be a teleworker. And let me tell you something. That's the best thing since sliced bread, okay?
Let me ask you this, Pam. If they ask you to come back in the office, and I don't know if they have or what.
I do. Like once in a while, I do certain things that I come in. But the thing about it is that bottom line is, and these managers don't want to hear this because they'll lie to your face. And that last young lady, the talk, the expert, that's what she needs to be honest about. They don't give a hoot nanny about us. They want the job done and they don't care about you.
Okay.
Bottom line.
Pam. Well, let me let Nichelle jump in there and respond to Pam. Would you like to, Nichelle? You still there, Nichelle?
Well, I can respond while we're trying to find Michelle.
Okay, I think I sort of heard her voice.
No, oh, okay.
I'm here.
There she is.
No, Michelle's going to respond.
Yes, go right ahead.
No, Pam, I don't disagree with that. I think at the end of the day, corporations are here for profit and they're here for loss. So they are going to get as much out of an employee as they can. I in no way disagree with that. And I think there are tons of managers who actually abuse that, knowing that they work for a corporation, and if they ask someone to do something, that they will do it. I don't disagree with that at all. However, what we're seeing is individuals who are saying, I'm only going to give XYZ, and that is because they are not in either alignment with what their company wants, so they don't feel like they should keep pushing or keep trying or do more. They don't feel motivated to offer creative solutions or new ideas. And they are only giving what they are being asked. In no way do I think managers are always fair. But if you feel that your manager is disrespecting your boundaries, then how I suggest you advocate for yourself that these are what you think is fair. And if that doesn't suit you, then maybe the company you're at isn't a good fit. Is that as cut and dry for everyone? Not really. You know, I understand that. But no, if you are not getting what you deserve, there are other positions for you to attempt to get what you deserve. I am saying that you should advocate for yourself because your corporation is not going to advocate on your behalf.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And thank you, Pam, for your passionate thoughts. We appreciate your call.
Thank you.
You know, I would just like to say that, you know, when I listen to Pam, you know, there are different types of quiet quitters, right? There's some what I call acute, like, you know, I'm stressed out, I'm burnt out, and I really need to do something because if I don't, I'm gonna collapse under the weight of all of this,
right?
So I call those acute quiet quitters. And then, you know, we have those that are chronic, and by chronic I mean, you know, there's sort of like what, you know, Pam is talking about. You know, I come in here, I do my job, I do what I'm supposed to do, and for a whole lot of reasons, I'm not prepared or willing to do more than that. And then what I call the long-termers who are just saying, you know what, this is the way it is. I'm tuned out. I work from 9 to 5. You know, you jam me if I come in at 9:03, and yet you want me to work till 6 o'clock. I'm not going to do it. And this is just the way I'm going to work. And so I think it's important for organizations to know and get a sense of what are those factors that are driving people to be quiet quitters. Now, I would say for Pam, in Pam's situation, that, you know, there's a culture issue there in that organization. If people feel that the only reason I'm valuable is for what I produce and they don't really care about me and therefore abuse and take advantage of me, some leader in the organization needs to step back and say, is this the kind of culture that I want? Because we know those kind of cultures do not generate productive employees. They don't generate the kind of teamwork that's necessary for organizations to be effective and exceed, you know, and they have people who feel pretty miserable on the job. And we know a disengaged employee increases the number of safety incidents, you know, affects productivity. They have higher rates of absenteeism. So managers who might be thinking that that's the way they manage, they're in the long term hurting that organization as well as hurting the people.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about what's going on in the workplace in reference to this new term, quiet quitting. And is this phenomenon even new? Is just sort of a new name for unhappy employees who are just sort of going through the motions? Is there anything new about this, or we're just sort of giving it a different title, just sort of putting a different face on something that's been ongoing since we all have been working? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Michelle, before I go to Dar on the phone lines, how much does, say, you know, the way Pam felt about it, and I don't want to point her out, but just since she was our last caller, how much does her position, or if she's unhappy with the way maybe her company is treating her, or the way, you know, her boss is dealing with her or others in her shoes, does that impact other employees, that kind of feeling? Can that sort of spread and sort of create a I don't want to say negative environment, but, you know, just
at least a little tense.
A tense, frustrating environment. Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, how could it not? How could it not create that type of, I want to say, toxic environment?
Mm-hmm.
Pam described an environment where she's going above and beyond, and witnesses someone else come in and benefit from, like, quickly benefit or reap what she's been trying to work on. That is extremely frustrating. So I definitely think other employees are aware of that. In the same way she may have seen that employee come in, there are others seeing that. So it really reflects poorly on the company, kind of like what Dr. Weaver says, because now you have a company where you know no matter how hard you work, your good work will not be rewarded with promotions or salary increases, the types of things that motivate employees to do well and to be successful and continue to try to reinvent and try things new. So I definitely think it's a negative impact on the culture of the work environment. But in much the same way that a company has control over the culture, we as employees have control over what type of culture we apply to, like what type of positions we want to be in, right, and what kind of companies we want to work for. So I think there's two sides to this coin. Just as much as there are companies that are not investing in their employees, that are not giving them the training they need to continue to grow and be successful in their role and be promoted, there are companies that are willing to do that. So what we're calling the quiet quitters are really, you know, today's disgruntled employees who just, instead of going on TikTok saying, I'm not doing more of this, like, you're not getting any more of this. It's disgruntled employees have always been present. They're individuals who just do not feel that they are being valued the way that they should be. And I don't think that's a new concept, but I definitely do think it impacts the mentality of others and in that office and that or suffering in that culture.
Sure. And social.
Well, Michelle, you're making such an interesting point, and I think it's so critical that, you know, that employers as well as employees understand that there are, mm-hmm, like levels of this. And I talked about, you know, that employee that's actively engaged. I mean, they're pushing everything up the hill. They want to make the company successful. They want to be successful, and they're just gung-ho.
Right.
And then you got those quiet quitters in the middle. Then you have those that are disengaged. And Michelle, as I listen to you, a lot of those disengaged folks are the ones who have made a decision that they're not going to be happy. They're not happy. It might have been some things that happened to the organization repeatedly that just, you know, hurt them, tune them out, and they just,
yeah,
there. And it does, you know, it does impact that segment. And again, when I look at that Gallup study, we have about 17% of the employees in the workplace are what we call disengaged or those disgruntled employees. And what's,
right,
so important with this, with these quiet quitters is that we have a chance to energize those quiet quitters and have them transform to be more actively engaged, excited about the workplace. Or we can miss the importance of this stage by not having conversations with each other, not engaged in straight talk. And many of those quiet quitters can refer to being disengaged, those disgruntled people who are not happy and don't want people around them to be happy. So it really, mm-hmm, is a calling card for leaders and organizations to be clear, what is the percentage of people in my organization that may be quiet quitters? And what,
right,
how do I prepare my supervisors and my managers to, number one, identify who they are, and then to really approach them to understand better what the organization can do and what they need to do to improve,
yep,
the situation.
202.
You know, sticking our head in the sand and not doing anything, and those quiet quitters then revert to disgruntled employees that hurt the organization and others.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Dar is calling from Maryland. Go right ahead, Dar.
I think I lost a lot of my train of thought because I was on hold for a while, but I have a comment to make. That new term of quiet quitting, we're going to go back to old school terminology. It's just lazy trifling with no work ethic. That's what it basically is. They want to sugarcoat what the terminology is. I'm not going to sugarcoat what it is. They come to work, they don't want to work, okay? They just want to get a paycheck, stand around. You got to tell them what to do all day long. Why?
That's
really unnecessary.
And
the employers are catering to that nonsense by not reprimanding them. You come into a job with a 12-hour shift, okay? You already know you have to work 12 hours, but you get there a hot hour and you wouldn't know when your first break going to take place. It's ridiculous. It's everywhere. It's bad everywhere.
Are you a business owner or supervisor, Adar?
Neither. I'm an employee
mm-hmm.
who goes to work faithfully and who works 12 hours a day. And I do overtime as well. I might put in 60 or 70 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, you're surrounded by a bunch of lazy people who don't want to work.
And is there
there's no sugarcoating that.
Is there a prototype that you see in your experience, or is it run the gamut? Male, female, young, old?
It's mostly the males.
Hmm.
They come in, you got some of the females working harder than the men do. They don't want to lift nothing. They can't lift it, it's too heavy. Their back hurts. They do more whining than the females do. And it's utterly ridiculous because the employers have not put their foot down and said, this is what we're going to tolerate and what we're not going to tolerate. They haven't done that. So by not doing that, you allow employees to do whatever they want to do at the workplace, and they're so far out of control, you can't get a grip on it, pull it back to where it needs to be.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dar, and thank you for your patience hanging on, waiting for us to get to you. Appreciate your comments. Dr. Weaver, I guess the question is, do employers notice this? Obviously, coworkers do. Dara's saying she sees it. Do employers notice it? If they do, you know, what can they do about it? I know you kind of hit on that a little bit about how they should approach it, but do employers see this?
Well, it's you know, I felt Dara and her, the intensity of her feelings, because she, you know, what she's saying is, look, I'm here working, doing the heavy lifting, everything I can do,
mm-hmm.
and I got people around me who aren't carrying their weight. And, of course, that happens. But I do want to also push back that all quiet quitters aren't lazy.
Okay.
So I don't want to characterize all of them as lazy. I don't agree with that. But I do think it's important in organizations, and Michelle talked about this a little bit earlier, that we set expectations and we have conversations about it. Because I have found in a lot of work that my firm, Alignment Strategies, does, is that oftentimes the supervisor is uncomfortable giving straight talk and feedback
mm-hmm.
to their employers. I mean, I see that a lot. Or when they give the feedback, it's so fuzzy, you don't know quite what the feedback is. And so it is important that when there are behaviors that are not appropriate, that are inconsistent with what people are supposed to do, that they get some feedback and they get it quick and they get it clear, and that they understand, you know, what the consequences are for continued behavior like that. But I will also say that we found in dealing with organizations where there's a high level of quiet quitters, or what we call passively engaged folks or disengaged people, that the peers can play an important role in changing that behavior, in terms of also having conversations with their colleagues to say, man, you know, when you did that, that just wasn't cool. Or when you do that, it impacts me this way. We have found that one of the most powerful change agents in an organization is a person's peer. So when I hear Dar's, you know, share with her experience, and I don't question it at all, my question is, what level of peer-to-peer engagement is occurring in that organization where peers can begin to hold each other accountable for what they are and are not doing?
Great response. Thank you so much, Dar. We appreciate your question and your comments. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. LaDonna, before we go to you, I wanted to ask Nichelle. Nichelle, with the job market being the way it is, you know, more openings than there are really applicants, so to speak, how does that affect this sort of quiet quitter move? Does that have any kind of impact on this? And again, we don't want to call it a phenomenon. It's just sort of a different name. But where does that fit in? Do the two have a dance at all, or are they just two separate things, or do they sort of connect in some way?
Yeah, I think we can't talk about one without talking about the other, because this term of quiet quitting, we have to think, is coming up during, you know, the Great Resignation. That is something we're talking about. It's coming up during what some people are also mislabeling as a teacher shortage. But I feel like these all fall underneath that larger umbrella of, are individuals feeling valued at work? Are they feeling like their work motivates them? Because what we're seeing is, and I really do think these do go hand in hand, because I think people are kind of drawing the line of what they're willing to give because there's nothing else coming back from it. So individuals are resigning because they don't see a need of going back into the office because it's not really fitting into how they want their life to look or how they see work going. So quiet quitting feels like it's a symptom of that too. There's less people in the workforce, so there's more work for the individuals who are remaining there, but they're not being given additional income or additional flexibility in order to meet this increase in demand. They're just being asked to do it. And I think what we have to really acknowledge is there is a difference between quiet quitting and being a blatantly a bad employee. Like if someone has a 12-hour shift and they do not come in for a 12-hour shift, that is completely different than someone who comes into a 12-hour shift and does not want to do overtime for nothing. So I think we just have to acknowledge that what we're calling quiet quitting isn't really quitting, and it isn't really being lazy. It's really saying, this is what my job description says, and this is only what you will get. And that doesn't really make someone a bad employee. It makes them maybe good enough, but it doesn't, and it definitely doesn't make them an overachiever. But in no way does that mean they're lazy. It just means they're drawing a line, you know. And that doesn't change anything I said earlier about managers needing to have clear conversations with their employees, and employees being able to have those with their managers. So if that transparency is not there to be able to say, you have expectations of me in this role and I have expectations of you as my manager, then how are you performing well in work? How are you able to talk about anything else effectively? So I just think that I definitely do think that they are related and all fall under that same umbrella.
Right. And I think what you're saying there, Nichelle, is so important. But I also, you know, if you don't want to work overtime, you know, you obviously you don't have to. But then that also can get into the question I could see of employers of saying, okay, where does the growth come from if they have a very sort of finite sort of schedule that they want to work? I can see an employee going, well, are you really able to grow, you know, in this company like we think you can? But obviously we can sort of continue that conversation. Let me go back to the phone lines, and LaDonna is calling with a question or a comment. Go right ahead, LaDonna.
Hi, good evening, all. As I was sitting here listening, Ms. Nichelle, with all due respect, you have kind of made the show more so employer-heavy opposed to understanding the employee. This is why we have quiet quitters, or why we have not necessarily defined as disgruntled employees, but employees who are fed up and tired. When you first post a job description in a job posting, you ask for certain qualifications. Sometimes employees, we have to dumb down our resumes or dumb down our qualifications so that we can even get the job to be able to, you know, get our foot in the door. But once we're there, we do have experiences on other good stuff that we can bring in and contribute, not necessarily to take over, but to just be able to make a contribution. What happens is our managers and supervisors, there's a threat that begins to get imposed. When they start to feel threatened, that's when they start making our job hostile. When we start feeling like we're being punished for going to college, for getting these skills, for taking all these trainings, especially while we were home during COVID, we had nothing to do but sit in the house and be trained. So we come back and we're thinking we have these things to offer. Fast forward, now we're getting those intimidation factors. We're getting the good old boy clubs. We're getting all of these things in addition to whatever we may be dealing with outside of work. But yet, when we come to work, we leave it, you know, before we cross the threshold, and we come in and try to do our job to the best of our ability.
LaDonna, let me ask you just to be sure we don't run out of time. You know, you use the term, we have to dumb down our resumes. You know, every so often, if the job market is tough and you might be overqualified for a job, you know, that tends to be an issue. But we're not at that stage now, so I'm trying to understand, why would you need to dumb down your resume? Why would you do that?
Well, me personally, I've been on my job for 8 years, But being somebody who works where I work and I see people that come in there to use computers to apply, they're mm-hmm. having to do that because if you're too qualified, then it seems like some employers don't want to hire you because they have to pay you more. If you are underqualified, then they don't want to hire you because then they have to, you know, so it's like, it's almost like a catch-22. Mm-hmm. And so, but the thing is, when you go into those interviews, you can't even, for the most part, give your best self anymore because, again, that may cost you your job. If you're too qualified or if you know too much, oh, no, she might try to come in and get my job. Let me keep her at arm's length. Or right. let me not hire her.
Got you. Well, let me.
I think like that's a reflection of company culture again, though. Mm-hmm. I genuinely do. I'm not saying that all companies are treat people fairly and equally. That is in no way is that what I'm saying. But that is a reflection of company culture. If you feel that you have to dumb down your resume and then your manager is not advocating for you to grow in the role that you've been put in, that is not a reflection of you. That is a reflection of the management structure. I agree. There's onus on both the employees and the corporation.
All right, let me let Dr. Weaver jump in, LaDonna.
Yeah,
just so
I would say that when you start talking about dumbing down, I don't know what your ethnicity or race is, but I can tell you that that's not an unusual comment. When we're doing diversity, equity, inclusion work, in particular when we talk to women of color, black women, they often talk about that they have to present dumb themselves down and not seem as progressive or have all of these big ideas because they can be intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, coming out of the COVID hybrid situation, the Seattle newspaper did a study, and they found that the majority of African Americans did not want to come back day to day and work in their workplaces because they felt like their workplaces were not embracing of them. Mm-hmm. That they cannot be fully present, that the ideas that they wanted to contribute to the organization got discounted or not heard. So there's a diversity piece that also underlines some of our experience with this quiet quitting or with being disengaged. And I think if that's happening, you want to identify that and surface that because it can get lost in a whole lot of other chatter. Right.
Right.
When there's some diversity elements here. Well, and I would often say that one of my mentors told me when I started this work that one of the challenges that women and people of color have is when they take a job and their supervisor's average and they have the capabilities and smarts beyond their supervisors. And he would tell me, his name was Dr. Price Kyle. We lost him about 3 years ago. He wrote Black Rage and some other books. He's phenomenal in his space. And what happens is that, you know, that person of color or that woman has to feel like they have to dumb down so they are not threatening to their supervisor. And, in fact, miss opportunities because the supervisor feels they're competing. To me, that's a little different than quiet quitting, although it could lead to quitting on the job. But that is a real diversity issue, and it is a real one that people of color and women face.
Well, LaDonna,
I am a black woman, so.
Well, thank you, LaDonna. For your question and your comment, and best of luck to you in your work situation. But we appreciate you adding to the conversation tonight.
Thank you, guys, and I appreciate you guys for having the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In our last few minutes, Dr. Weaver and Nichelle, I'd like you just to kind of offer your thoughts as we close out. Dr. Weaver, I'll give you the stage first.
Well, this quiet quitting is to me a serious issue that organizations need to look at, and whether they call it burnout, quiet quitting, retiring on the job, off-ramping, I mean, it's had a number of titles. It really is incumbent upon organizations to take the leadership, to provide the leadership, to step back and understand how prevalent is it in their organization. There are tools and assessment tools and techniques that can be used to identify the percentage of people that are disengaged or passively engaged or actively engaged. And organizations need to do that. The second point, which is one that I heard Nichelle say, by the way, that I didn't feel Nichelle was just making this an employer conversation at all. I just wanted to say that. But
thank
a point
you,
that Nichelle said is that you also have to find your voice as the employee and figure out how to engage in some straight talk with your supervisor around how things are impacting you. You know, what's making you feel very engaged or what's making you feel disengaged? You got to find the courage to have that conversation.
And, Nichelle, your last thoughts?
Yes, definitely. First, thank you so much, Ramonte, for having us, and thank you, Dr. Weaver, for your insight. I just want to just reiterate, as much as there is opportunities for companies to change what they are doing in order to reduce the number of disengaged employees, I strongly encourage individual contributors and employees to advocate for themselves when they feel that they are not being motivated. And I do encourage as much as possible not to quiet quit, but to stand up for yourself if you are being asked to do too much without reaping the benefits of it. And I do hope that companies take value more in their employees. I don't think that that's something we always see, but I hope that employees see that they are just as much empowered to work for employers that value them, and the energy that they're putting into things, the work that they produce, it's their brand. It's the brand at the end of the day. So quiet quitting does nothing but hurt your personal brand, because the work you're putting out isn't really giving as much as you'd want it to. So I definitely think there's opportunities for employers, employees, and corporations to really start to demystify this a little bit. Let's take apart why employees are not wanting to do any more, and start to address those issues, because quiet quitting is kind of a symptom of that and not really the real issue, the root of the problem.
Branding and marketing expert Nichelle Holmes and Dr. Vanessa Weaver, career advisor and CEO of Alignment Strategies. Thank you both so much
for helping to further
this conversation. Great conversation tonight and great interaction with our callers. We thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Have a great
thank
week.
Thank you for having us.
You too. That's the Daily Drum for this Monday, August 15th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.